Hello again. Welcome to the program. We continue in God's church manual that we may know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. Today we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 13. Before we do, there's a great message in song. It says, "Be still, my soul, for God is on your side." We're living in perilous days. There's no doubt about that. And the soul, that's the mind, the will, and the emotions. The psalmist prayed, "Be still, my soul." We need to make that prayer today. Sing along with this message and song. Well, we pick up our study today in verse number 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is writing to the pastor there at Ephesus, and he said, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." That phrase, "these things," is found in the Word of God 293 times. I've listed them here where they're found seven times in 1 and 2 Timothy. I'll just read them off. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. And that's, of course, where he said how you ought to behave yourself. He said, I hope to come shortly, but this can't wait. So he's writing these things. Then in 4:11, these things command and teach. 4:15, meditate on these things. 5 and 7, these things give in charge. Then in 5:21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Then 6:2, these things teach and exhort. And then 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Now, nourished up. The dictionary says to be nourished is to provide with the food or other substances necessary for growth, health, and good condition. Choose here is a metaphor that it means to educate, form the mind, to keep a belief in one's mind, typically for a long time. That's also in the dictionary. And so, what we believe, that word faith there, actually, it means what we believe, keep the faith, nourished up in the faith and of good doctrine. So he said, if you're going to be a good minister, you got to be nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine. A good minister, good doctrine. Now, faith, we find that word 19 times in 1 Timothy, 8 times in the second book of Timothy, and 5 times in Titus. Very important. Doctrine, we find 8 times in 1 Timothy, 4 in 2 Timothy, and 4 in Titus. These are small books, but they record these words again and again. So we have faith and doctrine. The context is how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now here in verse number 7, he said, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. To refuse something is to indicate or show that one is not willing to accept something. So he's saying to the pastor, there's some things that people need to understand you're not willing to accept. Life is simply choosing and refusing. I don't know how many times we do one or the other every day we are alive. But Timothy was to make sure that everyone in his congregation knew what and who he was against. And so are we to do that as pastors today. Silence gives consent. Always has, always will. And so we need to indicate or show that one is not willing to accept something. Today we're getting a lot of false doctrine and a lot of silence about that. Don't want to rock the boat. No, we don't need to rock the boat. We need to sink the boat. 1 Timothy 1:4 says, neither give heed to fables. 4 and 7, refuse profane and old wise fables. 4 and 4, turn away their ears from the truth and they'll be turned unto fables, it says. And then 1 and 14 of Titus, not giving heed to Jewish fables. Fables, what are they? They are imaginary, they are fabricated, they have no real foundation. Exercise, that's an activity requiring effort to sustain or improve health and fitness. So we have an activity here. An activity is an action or actions taken in order to achieve our aim. What are we shooting for? And so, once again, silence gives consent. The pastor has the responsibility to express what is acceptable unto the Lord and what is not acceptable. Now, this thing about choosing, there's a price tag on it. If you choose to do right, there's a price tag. Refusing, there's also a price tag. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That word suffer affliction, or that phrase, is only found in this one place. I've put the Greek word here, and I'm not even going to pretend I can announce that word. You can figure that out. So he says in verse 8, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So bodily exercise, that's temporal. Godliness is eternal. And so he says we can look at the things that, what he says here in life that now is, or we can look at that which is to come, eternal. Something about godliness, it lasts forever. Now he says in 4:9-10, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Reproach is expressed disapproval. If you're going to stand true to the Word of God today, you're going to have some expressed disapproval. It's just that simple. And so why? Because we trust in the living God. We believe what he has to say. So he says to the pastor in verse 11, these things command and teach. Oh, we don't want to do any of that commanding stuff. We just want to teach. And what we want to teach is what the people want to hear. It says back in Isaiah, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. You remember when Jesus was asked the question, what will it be like when you come back? Number one on that list, and he mentioned it three times in that message, was that you will be, he said, be careful, beware of deceit. Deceit. So he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Interesting here. In word and conversation. What, isn't that the same thing? No, that word conversation, just an old English word, actually means manner of life. So he said, be an example in word, in manner of life, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. So we have the physical, which is in contrast with the spiritual. So many times we're ready to say, what do you have me to do? I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to build a big church. I'm going to read my Bible or whatever. What do you want me to do? Well, what he says here is, be thou an example. He said, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. The book of Nehemiah, a great revival going there, and it says in chapter 8, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And then exhortation, that's communication, emphatically urging someone to do or be something. And so he says, be thou an example of the believers. And we're going to be doing that. We're going to be learning good doctrine. We've seen over and over again that the word doctrine is used in 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus. So very important. So we need to learn to be, spend time with the Lord. Once again, we're living in perilous times. Again, make this your prayer today. Be still, my soul, for God is on your side.